One of the increasingly important challenges facing the Caritas Confederation today is the fight against HIV/AIDS, an issue that was also high on the agenda when Pope Benedict met US President George Bush for the first time in the Vatican on Saturday. During his meeting with the Pope, President Bush spoke about his government's efforts to fight against AIDS in Africa. The US leader pledged he would work to get Congress to double the current US commitment for combating AIDS in Africa to $30 billion over the next 5 years. Bush was visiting Rome after attending the summit of G8 leaders in Germany, where they vowed to deliver on pledges to Africa and agreed a $60 billion package for fighting AIDS, malaria and tuberculosis. Officials said half of that amount would come from the United States. However, AIDS activists say the money pledged by the G8 leaders is disappointingly short of expectations and is a major setback for the fight against the epidemic in Africa. They say the G8 leaders failed to address the critical issue of a dire lack of healthcare workers in Africa, saying more than 1 million trained workers are needed to adequately provide for people's needs there. Across many parts of Africa, one of the main providers of health care to AIDS sufferers is the Catholic Church.
Now, the Catholic Church in Democratic Republic of Congo is really involved in fighting against AIDS.
Bruno Miteo is deputy director of Caritas in the war-torn Democratic Republic of Congo and is actively involved in projects to provide assistance to those displaced by the ongoing conflict, many of them sufferers from HIV and AIDS. He told my colleague Susie Hodges that many people in the Democratic Republic of Congo feel the West is simply ignoring their desperate plight.
The Congolese people feel that the world is forgetting them. The world is forgetting them because I remember you that we have lost 4 million people during the last 10 years. 4 million of people. And also we had 2 million and a half people displaced through all the country. So we are some humanitarian actors on the field, but the situation is still very bad because almost enough of the people displaced are still running. No food, no assistance, no shelters, no water, no medicine. And the country, the government also is still very weak to give, to prepare a strong response to assist the population.
It must be also very difficult for you in these situations, as you say, if people are on the move particularly, and you know there's an insecurity problem. I mean, how do you reach these people to help them?
That's the problem. But our advantage is that as a church, Caritas is an organization of the church, we are on all the field. We are on different communities, different parishes, etc. So we use the channels of the communities to go to the field. We know that is very difficult, but we try because we are there before or during the war and after the war. We don't have choice. You know, if we have been, for example, the actors of UNHCR or different ONGs, Western country come there, we should leave, but we can't leave. We are forced to remain there and to assist the people. One example I'm going to give you, when my country has been divided into three parties by rebels, so the rebels didn't allow the people to meet together. Only Caritas is able to ask the permission and to go through the word to give assistance. That's our big advantage that we have.
Right, talking about AIDS and the G8 summit, which announced an increase in aid to help fight AIDS in Africa, how bad is the AIDS epidemic in Congo?
The situation of HIV is still mending there, means it's stable, according to the different statistics. Now, the Catholic Church in Democratic Republic of Congo is really involved in fighting against AIDS. He has set up a declaration, a statement to how the church can be involved in that matter. But now, basically, the foundation of the HIV is poverty. And how to fight against poverty, that is very, very big issues for us. You can manage everything against HIV, but if the poverty is still there, so the problem will still remain. And we try to change the behavior of people, we change to give a different speech, but the real problem, the roots, the cause is the poverty.
Conflict, though, must also play a role, doesn't it? Because there you're likely to get, you know, a breakdown of law and order, maybe, you know, soldiers and militias who are raping women.
Indeed, conflict are contributing to maintain the bad situation. Imagine that in Congo, we had one of the time, last time, 10 different armies on the field, 10 different armies coming different countries. And you can imagine the gravity of sexual abuse, the gravity of the insecurity. And we know that the contamination is still continuing because of the poverty, because of the insecurity. The country is not in fight. We don't have a national army. In some places, for example, in Bunia, in the northeast of our country, some militia are still there. We have bandits, we have all sorts of different people groups that are taking weapons and trying to bring insecurity. That all that is maintaining the bad situation for bringing the HIV.
And does anybody have any kind of rough estimate as to how many people are HIV positive? What percentage of the population?
In average, they talk about 4 to 5% of population. We are 60 million people. Caritas now is involving with NGOs, American NGOs, to make some assessment for some different parties that are very affected.
But as you say, with a population of 60 million, that's a lot of people.
Indeed, 16 million, and if you take 5%, and how to stop? And we know that the contamination is still continuing.
Is there then, as you say, because there is so much lawlessness, so many militias and armed groups operating on Congolese soil, is there very much a climate of fear in many parts of the country for the civilian population?
Yes, it is. The population, especially now.
Yes, I heard that the bishops in a recent declaration, they said that the country was ripe for another full-blown civil war, that all the ingredients were there. Is that very much a real fear then?
So I would like to come back on that declaration from the bishop conference in the east of the country around Bukavu region. Bishop said that there is insecurity and they are the proof that militians are preparing the new war, and sexual abuse is still continuing and the people are afraid. And now all the elements, saying to the bishop, all elements are almost ready to see the new or broken. That is the situation now in the east of the DRC Congo.
So it's not getting better?
No, it's not getting better. On the contrary, it's getting worse. The situation is getting worse.
Bruno Miteo, Deputy Director of Caritas in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Unlike Congo, the country of Malaysia has not been embroiled in years of civil war, and indeed many of its people are experiencing unprecedented prosperity as a result of its booming economy. Yet despite all this, the incidence of AIDS in Malaysia is expanding dramatically each year, especially amongst the young. More than two-thirds of HIV-positive people there have contracted the virus as a result of their intravenous drug use. Brother Anthony Rogers is National Director of Caritas Malaysia. He says AIDS is spreading fast amongst the young because so many are turning to drugs through a lack of spiritual values and direction.
In terms of numbers, the numbers are growing.
Why is that?
Maybe I'll give you some statistics first.
Okay.
We have close to 330 new cases of HIV every month in Malaysia. In the whole of Europe, 500 a year. stop talking of a really, really big increase in the number of people with HIV/AIDS.
Why is it growing so fast then?
I think one of the reasons is that Malaysia is one of the few countries in Asia that has seen such rapid economic growth and development. We're the world's highest producers of five products: rubber, tin, palm oil, timber, and microchips. So our economy is growing. We have lots and lots of jobs. We have close to 2.8 million migrant workers out of a population of 26. So we can say Malaysia is a ripe place for growth of affluence, of materialism. And the young people are asking themselves, what's the meaning in life when we have, we have eradicated poverty, inverted commas, we have so much wealth, what is the meaning of life? And many of those cases that you'll see here, the Center for HIV that we started, we literally picked from people from the streets. They are youth who have lost the meaning of life in the midst of a materialistic, aggressively competitive society. And I think this is one of the causes why 70% of our HIV cases are related to intravenous drug users. So drug is the main cause of growth in HIV/AIDS in Malaysia.
So most of these HIV-positive people are very young people?
All the people for the past 10 years who have come to our house are young people, right from the age of 16, and about 120 have died in our Centre for HIV/AIDS.
Tell us a little bit about your projects and your services that Caritas Malaysia offers for these people.
Currently, this particular project is the first organized hospice for AIDS in Malaysia. Secondly, it is the first hospice for AIDS that accepts peoples of all faith. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, they all come to our hospice for AIDS.
Brother Anthony Rogers, National Director of Caritas Malaysia, talking to my colleague Susie Hodges.